right. If you have your Bibles again tonight, turn, if you will, in your Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Let me read, just stay there, and let me read these passages of Scripture of chapter 7, 57 through 60. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, if we go back and read chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews of the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in their daily distribution. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that as we recall some of the early times of our church history, where we came on Sunday night and studied your word together and learned and prepared for the ministries that are ahead of every church, Lord, we thank you for being able to recall those times and those great hymns that we sing. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Word of God has not changed. It's still relevant to our heart today. And Lord, we thank you tonight as we look at these passages of Scriptures that we read from tonight, that Lord, you will talk to our heart. Let us open the eyes of our understanding that we might be enlightened. And God, we give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. The book of Acts is one of the greatest books in the Bible for us, the history of the early church. And as you study the early church and as we've looked at the early church, we see the early church was filled with people. Now, when we think about the early church, we think somehow or another that those people were different than we are, but they were no different. They met in their houses to worship. They met wherever they could to worship God. They learned the scriptures together, and they heard the preaching of the word as it was read, and things like that. And people who came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God used those to continue to reach out and multiply people. And that's what we should be doing tonight. Simply as we come to know Jesus Christ, as we study His Word, as we see how good He has been to us, we simply should share the Word of God with someone else and bring them in. And I encourage you to call those people that have fallen by the wayside. I encourage you as teachers and Sunday school people to call and just invite your class, the ones that hadn't been there in a while, to come. And to come back and to get into the fellowship. Come back and get into the Word. A lot of times they don't realize how much you miss them because they never receive a call. But if you'll call them and let them know that you're learning and the church is excited, and we should be excited about the things. Things were happening in the early church, and they should be the same today because nothing's changed. The Word of God is still the same. Now, the Bible says Stephen was a young man, one of the seven original deacons who sealed his witness with the testimony of Jesus Christ and gave his own blood in doing that. What a man that was. And we know Stephen as a martyr in the faith. Someone who dies for what they believe is a martyr. And over the years, many people have died for what they believe in Christ Jesus, being able to share the word. And people are still being martyred today. for the faith in Jesus Christ all over the world. People that lay down their lives for the word of the gospel. Now, Stephen was a man who, in chapter 6, I'm not going to read that whole chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. If you'll just go back and read about Stephen's life, look at his testimony of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave his testimony. And we read in the last part of 7 that he died for his testimony. And we may be thinking, well, you know, why couldn't he have done it some other way? But you know, God calls us all to literally lay down our life for him if need be. And that's exactly what Stephen did. His name was Crown. And yet he crowned his crown for his Christian living and testimony by literally giving his life for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a beautiful way to die. What a beautiful testimony. I want you to just look at him tonight and look at some things about his life. I want to say first, Stephen was a faithful man, a faithful minister of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, here's the story. The early church was growing. Thousands were being saved. Everywhere the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, people came to know Jesus. Now, we don't see that today, but if you go overseas and you go to places like South America where the Word of God is preached and people have been in darkness for so long, the Holy Spirit is moving in those places. I'm told that in Africa, you know, in Africa when we went, we saw thousands come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior simply by preaching what you hear every Sunday, simply by telling them Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for you, and he wants you to love him back and give your life to him and turn from sin. Explain to them what sin is and how it separates. They come to know Jesus Christ. They're willing to give up family for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, Stephen, thousands were being saved. And, you know, with growth in a church, when growth comes, there's always some problems inside the organization, isn't it? The Church of Jesus Christ is an organization. It's a living thing too, and it lives and breathes, and it multiplies and it grows. Now, listen, we need to desperately get out the word and be a living, vibrant church in Gun Barrel. Gun Barrel needs Jesus Christ. People all over his town need Jesus Christ. I see signs that our city is going the wrong way, just as our nation is going the wrong way. So the church must be a living organism with an organization about it to reach people for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what exactly was happening here. The church began to grow, and there was problems. Now, every member, I believe, God has a gift that he gives you. And with every member comes an opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. Every one of you tonight have an opportunity. You had an opportunity today to give to the Refuge of Light. And I thank God for a church that sees a need and wants to help people. But not only that, every week you have an opportunity to go out into the highways of Gun Barrel City and literally compel people to come in. And there's a place for you to minister in God's church. Now, the Bible says a problem arose in the early church. There arose, the Bible says, a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution of the needs they had, food and things like that. Now, problems arrive in churches because of growth. But you know what? I'd rather be in a church that's growing with some problems than to go through life without any problems whatsoever and never grow in the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says here that some neglect was going on. Now, when we was in Jerusalem, when we was in Israel, we met a lot of different kinds of people. I saw different kinds of Jewish people. And there was two classes of Jewish people here. They were the Grecians that translated the Bible, says Hellenistic. Those Jews who lived outside of Palestine. They lived outside of Palestine, and they were called the Hellenistic Jews. They spoke the Greek language, but weren't knowledgeable in some of the customs that the Jews had, and were more knowledgeable of the customs of the world. And I believe there's a lot of us today in our churches. Our people are not as knowledgeable as the things of God as they are the things of the world. And many of them had come back to Jerusalem to live. And as I looked at Jerusalem, there's about four different sections of towns there in Jerusalem around that city. And it's literally, if you get the chance to go there, you'll literally see that it is divided into about four major sections around the temple there. Now, the Hebrews were native to Palestine area who spoke Hebrew and died within their land. And a large number were not getting their daily distribution of food. These were widows. They were neglected, and there arose in the church a murmuring. I don't like that word, a murmuring. But you know what? Growth brings problems. And, you know, I've never known a family yet that didn't have a few problems. There's always a few problems in families. And here they are, the apostles. They're working. They're trying to handle all these problems themselves. And they just wasn't being able to do it. They weren't being able to get around to everybody. You know, if there's just a few deacons and there's a lot of people, then they can't serve everybody, can they? They miss somebody. They're not going to be at everybody's house. And today, people expect the pastor or the staff of the church to try to make it around to everybody's house. Well, we're just not going to do it. It's not feasible, and it's just hard to do to get around to everybody's house. Especially when you got 1,200 members, and some of them you can't find, and I don't know where they are. Hadn't seen them in so long. I wonder if they're still alive, but, you know, they had to come up with a plan. And the plan is, in verse 2, then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, you know, it's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Now, folks, listen. It wasn't because they didn't want to, okay? It wasn't because the apostles didn't want to go out and serve food and wash the feet and do the things like that that Jesus taught them to do. They were trying, the early church, you've got the picture, the early church was meeting from house to house. The early church was seeing thousands literally come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can just imagine what would happen if 1,000 people today got saved in Gun Barrel and came to our church. Man, that'd be a problem, amen? It'd be a good problem, but it'd be a problem. Somebody'd have web feet time to baptize all them people. But you know what? That is the problem they were having. Now imagine, it tells in the book of Acts, thousands were being saved, 5,000, 3,000, 2,000. And the apostles found themselves working themselves to death and not being able to refresh themselves in the Word of the Lord. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When you're not refreshing yourself in the Word of the Lord, then you're not going to be able to feed all of those people that are spiritually hungry. And when they're not able to feed all the people that are spiritually hungry, there's a problem. And they said, you know, it's not good for us to leave the Word and try to serve all these people, and we're still missing these people. So let us search out and find seven men of honest report. That means good, solid people that are following after God's word, that are walking by faith in Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit in their life. Now, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, it's interesting because it shows how a church can solve the problems that they have. You see, no problem is too big that God doesn't give you the wisdom to understand how to respond to these problems. And when a problem comes, let me say this, a lot of people just leave. They don't like problems. So their mindset is, well, preacher didn't get by to see me. The deacons didn't get by to see me. Music director didn't sing what I like to sing. Didn't shake my hand. Children's director, well, he's always down there in the children's department, never with the adults in here. You know, I'm just going to go somewhere else where I can get some attention. And it's more than apt. It's just a me problem. And it's a selfish problem. Instead of being part of the solution, a lot of people just don't want to be a part of that solution, and they just leave. Now, I never respond to personal threats. I've heard a lot of people say, preacher, you know, I'm just going to leave if this happens. And you know what I say? Well, don't let the door hit you on the way out. You know, you were looking for a church when you came here. You'll still be looking 3 years from now because you're not going to find a church that will take care of every little need that you have. You're just not going to do it, folks. And it is silly to get mad if you say you are a Christian. It's silly to get mad over something like that and run off to another church thinking, with that mentality, that church down there is going to fulfill your every little desire. It's not going to do it. And you know what happens? You run off to that church. You don't do it, but some do. They run off to that church, and everything goes good for about 2 or 3 months. That's the courting stage, I guess you could say. I don't even know if I court you that long or not. Somebody said you came visit me every week while I was visiting, and now you hadn't visited me a time. I sure haven't, because you ought to be visiting with me. But you know what? It lasts about 3 or 4 months, and then that preacher doesn't do something that they don't like, they like. And the first thing you know, they're mad at that church and mad at that preacher, and they've done jumped over to another church thinking, well, I'm going to keep looking. And they will never find happiness, because the problem is not the churches. The problem is right here, you see. Now, that's one way people try to solve problems, and it doesn't work. But you know what? The best way to solve a problem, if you have a problem with me, or if you have a problem with the deacons, or you have a problem in the church, the Bible says you come to the pastor. You come to me, and I'll sit down, and I'll discuss that with you, and I'll tell you why things work this way and have to work this way. And then we'll sit down and pray about it, and we'll give God the glory in that, and we won't get mad at each other because we've taken the time to ask God to reveal how we can not be a problem but be the solution to the problem. You see? And of course, that's the only way I know to deal with situations that don't make a problem in a church. Now, there's two important principles here. One, we find in the scripture here the principle of priority. You must study the Word of God. You see? If you don't study the Word of God and you don't look at the Word of God, and I know the last three sermons have been on people studying the Word of God and our responsibility to get into the Word of God. Because if we're ever to grow, if we're ever to have a revival, we've got to train ourselves in the Word of God. And that's my first priority, is to study the Word of God. Now, like I said, these apostles were not too good to serve tables, But their first priority was to study the Word of God. Anytime, you know, there's something to do up here, I try to be here. And I'm not too good to sweep floors. I've come up here many a night and swept up crickets so that they wouldn't be in the floor on Sunday morning. You know, I'm not too good to do that. But that's not my first priority. The preaching on Sunday morning is my first priority, is to look at the Word of God and study the Word of God so that I can have a message from God to tell you how we can grow a church, how God can use us through us to grow a church. And then I see not only the priority of studying the Word, I see there's a matter of what? Delegation here. Let's look out some men of good report. I'm glad we have an army of faithful members here. Man, I tell you, I don't know if you just don't know what goes on, or but if you're not in the working on a committee or doing something, you don't have to have your name on a committee to help around this church. All you have to do is just say, I want to help. There's all kinds of ways that you can help. The girls, the young girls and things got together with this Refuge of Light. You know, they just come to me and said, can we do this? Can we show these pictures? Can we? And I said, hey, take it and run with it if you want to. And they did. And you responded. And they received $3,000 to help that mission, get that building built and stuff like it. You know, there's a widow's banquet coming up this weekend. And I pray that you'll all, if you're a widow, you will attend. You know, that just don't happen. The deacon men, they didn't do it either. These women, deacons' wives, man, they play an important part. They got together this evening, and they're going to fix this thing up. I didn't have to fool with it. Just think for a moment, if I had to do all of that, or if I'd say, Brother Teddy, would you handle the widow's banquet this year? He wouldn't have time to figure out music on Sunday morning. You just can't do it. So there's a matter of delegation, and faithful members willing to spend their time and their efforts is the only way. You know, and that is what we call serving the Lord, or serving God's tables. You know, that is the way, that's the way things happen and get things done. And it's not only that, I could go just down the list. Man, there's the Building and Grounds Committee. I know they're working right now on the sign. Hey, folks, that just don't happen. You know, Brother Ed and his Building Grounds Committee, he wonders if I'm going to ever let him off that committee. But, man, I tell you, I work him to death. He's been working on that sign. It just don't happen, folks. There's all kinds of regulations that's got to be met. There's all kinds of contracts out there. There's all kinds of meetings going on. And, you know, he's always emailing me or something and saying, Booney, is this all right? Is this all right, Pastor? You know? And then these lights, they're just about out. But I hear the man's coming tomorrow. That's all been taking place. You know, I don't have time to fool with that. But I'm so glad we've got a Building and Grounds Committee. Air conditions always go out. Every Sunday morning, they're bound to go out. And I'm so glad I can just call Brother Ed and say, or, you know, I used to call Rudy. Rudy and Joyce have gone now. They're moved to Waxahachie, and we're going to miss them. But I'd call Rudy, or I'd call somebody, you know. It's so good to call Barbara and say, Barbara, we've had a death in our church family. Would you take care of the flyers and take care of the food? And Laverne, and they just get together and do that. And all the women pitch in. And every woman, I think, around here has a part in that. And you as members take part in that. You see, that's what serving is all about. Brother Bill, every Sunday morning, comes up here. If I get here at 6:30, he's already here. If I get here, you know, it doesn't matter what time I get here. He seems to know I'm coming early, and he's always here. And he's got all the lights on and the doors unlocked. You know, that's what it takes for a church. And if somebody lets down their part, oh, the air conditioning didn't get cut on, or the water didn't get in the baptistry on Sunday morning. See, those things just don't happen. You have to have people serving. And some might say, well, that's just a little bit. Well, it is. But those little places, it what makes the church run smooth. It does. And God used Stephen to serve in one of the biggest places in the early church. Now, I know some who want to serve God, and all they want is so they can be recognized. And if I hadn't called your name out tonight, it's not because I'm mad at you or something. I just didn't think of it. And sometimes I miss names. I sure do. And I better mention my wife. She serves all the time, I tell you. But, you know, some people serve just to get their name recognized. And if you do that, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. You see, the Lord recognizes you. And you will get your crown in the day that he calls you home. Some people serve just to have their name in the paper. Well, Stephen's name wasn't in the paper, but God mentioned him in the Bible and gave him about 2 chapters or 3 chapters here dedicated to him, boy. He made the glory headlines that day. You see, a faithful minister, and that's what our church has, I believe, faithful ministers all over. And every one of you are a minister. You're doing something for Jesus Christ. I ain't forgot the choir. The choir, like Teddy said, he tells all the time, they're up here working. These ladies are playing the organ. You come up here on Saturday, they're here. You see? They don't have a Saturday off hardly because they're always here practicing, folks. Not only that, you have a powerful message, a messenger, starting in chapter 6, verse 9. Let's look at that. Then there arose some of the what is called the synagogue of the freemen, Caesareans, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom of the Spirit by which he spoke. Now let me tell you something. That is a powerful message. I'm not going to read this whole message. He starts preaching about Jesus Christ here. And, man, he just preaches about the Word of God. Now, let me tell you something. He's not a preacher. He's a deacon. Can deacons preach? Well, they certainly should. If I'm sick, I wish I could just call on any one of them, stand up here and preach. And I believe they could. If nothing other than just give their testimony and the plan of salvation. Folks, that's good preaching. Just tell people how to be saved. That's exactly what Stephen did. And if you studied your word, you studied the Bible, you can always go back in the beginning God and just explain about the creation story and explain about how Adam and Eve fell. And because Adam and Eve fell, we also fall. And how God gave the commandments. Man, that's good preaching. You know those stories. They're in your heart. You've hit them there. And they will come to you. You say you can't testify? Just tell people about Jesus Christ. Stephen did certainly that. Now, Stephen, he's a fellow deacon. And he preaches a gospel message. And in verse 10 says, they were not able to resist the wisdom of the Spirit by which he spoke. In other words, where did he get his schooling from? He got it from the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't need a master's degree out of Criswell or a master's degree out of Southwestern. If you will study the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart. He will quicken you the words to say and give you the things to say that you need to say for souls to come to him. Now, let me tell you something about Stephen. He's preaching, and he's preaching with authority, and he's preaching with wisdom, and he's preaching without any fear. This crowd killed Jesus Christ. This crowd nailed Jesus to the cross. And Jesus and Stephen is now preaching about Jesus Christ. And he says, hey, you killed him. You had him crucified. Boy, I tell you what. That's preaching. And he's doing it in boldness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.